This morning, I'd like for us to very briefly just look at the idea of the value of the life that Jesus lived on this earth and the life he lives today. If we pose this question to a variety of people, we would get a variety of answers. The atheist would say probably that it had no value at all. If indeed the atheist confessed that there was a Jesus that lived upon this earth, others might suggest or might believe that he had value as a teacher, that he had influence, that in the history of man he was one of the more influential people. But beyond that, most people might not think there is great value in his life. For a Christian, though, a Christian looks to the Scripture to see what the value of the life of Christ is. And the value of his life is great. And it's great as portrayed in Scripture for all of mankind. So what does the Bible say about the life of Jesus Christ? One thing is the Scripture teaches us his life was a ransom for all. In fact, he came to earth for the purpose of dying, for the purpose of paying our debt, or the debt of anyone willing to believe in him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Mark writes, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the words of Jesus recorded in the context of the great in the kingdom are those who serve, and then we have Jesus. Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom. That was part of why he came. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 2 says, "He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world." Older translations than the King James translated propitiation as reconciliation or atonement. The Geneva and the Bishop's Bible use those words. So we look at Jesus, and he himself, he was our atoning sacrifice. He was the sacrifice through which we get reconciliation. He is our propitiation. It is to him we turn for mercy and his sacrifice. Also, he died of his own free will. When we look at his life, Jesus died willingly. John chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me," Jesus said, "but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So the value of the life of Christ is also in his dying of his own free will, giving himself as our atoning, reconciling propitiation. He died to pay the debt for our sin. He also gave us an example that we can follow. Jeremiah wrote, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Bobby Graham, one of my teachers, used to emphasize this point in our Bible studies, that it's not in man. We must turn to Scripture to understand how to live our lives. And what we find in Scripture is this supreme example. 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps." This means that followers will also take up their own cross, as it were. To follow Jesus means there must be a sense of selflessness. There must be a sense of sacrifice in the life we live. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. There is that selflessness. And take up his cross. There is that sacrificial living for God. And follow me. And it also means that we will seek to do good in our lives. We read in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. So if we are going to follow Christ as an example, and his life gives us the supreme example of righteousness, of how we ought to live, then we see in that life selflessness, sacrifice, and the want to do good with our lives. And Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, Paul wrote, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Christ's obedience was not only an example, but his obedience was for all mankind. What I mean by that is what we see in Paul's teachings in Romans, that through one man, sin entered the world, and then through one man, we are made righteous. Paul wrote in Romans 5:19, just picking up the latter part of that, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Adam's sin brought the knowledge of good and evil. And sadly, most choose to do evil. Braden talked about the flood this morning in Noah. And what we see there is most of the world, most of the people of the world had turned away from God. They had turned to the evil. And that came through the knowledge of good and evil that came from the sin that Paul references there in Romans 5. But the sinless life of Jesus qualified him to be our sacrifice. If he had sinned, he could not have been our sacrifice. His sinless life qualified him so that through him, many will be made righteous. That's not all, because all will not accept that sacrifice. His perfect life was lived for all mankind. The value of that perfect life, in part, was that it qualified him to be our sacrifice. We could not die for anyone but ourselves, but Jesus could die for all mankind. And then today, he is our intercessor. His unending life now allows him to intercede for us. I think that's an interesting quality about the life of Jesus. His life is eternal. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Paul said, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ died, but he rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God. He intercedes for us. His eternal life was spoken of by several in the Bible. One of those is John in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 2. John said, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Jesus was eternal. He lived with God. As John wrote in John chapter 1, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Or I think the emphasis is supposed to be the Word was God. And that life, John says, was manifested to us. We've seen it. We bear witness to it. And we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father. The Hebrews writer said, for he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. There is an eternal nature to Christ and to his intercession for us. In the same chapter, in verse 25, the writer says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This idea of always, Thayer says the Greek word means at all times or ever. He ever lives. He at all times lives. He always lives. So that eternal life that was manifested to us, that now resides again at the right hand of God, intercedes for us. What's the value of the life of Jesus Christ? His life was a ransom for all men. He is an example for all men. His perfect life was lived so that he could be the sacrifice for all men. And he intercedes today for all of the saved. How do we take advantage of that? How do we take advantage of that? We accept the ransom for our own sins. Jesus died to pay the debt for all. He to be the ransom for all. But that ransom is only for those who accept it. It's only for those who believe in him. We must imitate his example in our life. We must die with him in baptism. And then we must live a life so that we would receive his intercession. This is the value, in the briefest sense, this is the value of the life of Christ. His life was lived, his death was died for all mankind. He came to pay the ransom for all men. He lived that perfect life and qualified himself to be our sacrifice and died for us. We take advantage of that when we accept that ransom. In other words, we must become Christians. We must walk in the light. We must confess our sins so that the Father might forgive us. The value of the life of Christ was for all mankind, remains so today. But the value of that life is only accessed by those who become his disciples, by those who become Christians, by those who walk in the light. What John said in chapter 5, in verse 10, is this: he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. For those of us who believe, we have that testimony. We have that witness. John says, he who does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. The value of the life of Christ is set forth in the Word of God. For those who believe God's Word, for those who accept the teaching of Christ, for those who believe in him as Christ, God's anointed, and then that belief motivates obedience. For those, the value of his life continues into eternity. Let us be those who benefit from the value of the life of Jesus Christ. We'll dismiss to our classes.